This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to 5-on-3. We're live. We're hot. This is WFUV's Best If Only Hockey Podcast. Jack Warner, Lydia Perner, got Trey behind the board. We're all good. Welcome, everybody.
Nick, why aren't you wearing pants?
We keep doing this. Guys, I'm wearing pants. All right.
Listen, the listeners at home have no, like, way of proving that. This
I know.
Isn't video.
But have you heard of the tale of the boy who cried wolf? If you say that I don't have pants every time, people are going to stop believing you.
But they still haven't seen anything otherwise yet, so it's a 50-50. It's not like they're going to stop believing me. I genuinely believe you're not wearing pants.
All right. Well, welcome back to the podcast.
Lydia, I don't think you've ever been looped in on that, have you?
Well, the first time I produced for you guys,
I think I did it.
Back in, I don't remember.
Ages.
Yeah. That joke was made, and I was just sitting in the back like, what have I got myself into?
It's not a joke. It's not a joke.
Well, true, yeah.
Well, you know what else isn't a joke?
We can only see from torso up.
Can we talk hockey? All right, before we get into Devils, Rangers, and Islanders, I want to start with some league news. Connor McDavid's not playing hockey right
Ooh.
Now.
Devo
was suspended for 3 games because he and Tyler Myers, defenseman for the Vancouver Canucks, got into a little tiff. It was a long series of sort of jabs at each other until it got real. Devo cross-checked to the head. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
And I want to start here because Connor McDavid, he has that like part of that play. Like he everyone thinks of him as the golden boy who can do no wrong. He can be a little dirty sometimes. I can think of a couple times where he's given, you know, a flying elbow or two.
Yeah.
Cross check to the head. And, you know, I saw a take that was like, you know what? Good. He needs to defend himself a little bit. And I think he has every right to, Jack.
It's the nature of the sport. I mean, again, there's obviously some players who are known more so as the nicer and softer around the edges relative to hockey players.
Yeah.
But you have to have a certain amount of psychopath nature to you to even excel in that sport at the professional level. In Connor's situation, am I going to go out and encourage more of what he did per se? No. That has the potential to be really dangerous, cross-checking someone on the side of their head. What I will say, though, is he was getting ragdolled. He has every right to defend himself. And also, there was a bit of a officiating failure on that play, especially because the way that he was being held down to the ice like that before he ends up giving the cross check should have been called a penalty. Like, if anything, if there were proper officiating, we probably never would have saw this. Again, there's so many moving pieces on a hockey game or during a hockey game. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, NHL refs suck. I'm not. I'm just saying there was a missed opportunity to end that before it started and call an interference, you know, very early in that sequence, but it didn't happen. I think, you know, it was just finally him letting himself go a little bit and showing some anger. I thought it was fun. It's a fun edge. You have to, you know, in order to like a sport like hockey, you have to kind of, you know, enjoy those kinds of things. I feel like it's hard to not be romantic about seeing a player like him lash out once in a while.
Yeah, not too fun for Connor Garland, though, ALP. Okay. We're having some mic troubles with her, but that's okay. Jack, where do you want to start? As far as the tri-state teams,
that's a great question. You know what? You're the host.
I get to choose.
Yeah.
Well, let's.
Do you want to start Islanders, or do you want to save that just to like kind of build up to it?
Let's talk about the team that's doing the most poorly right now.
Oh,
which
is
the New Jersey Devils.
Yes, it is.
They're not playing good hockey.
Probably for the first time this season, they're the worst tri-state team, I would say.
Right now, they still have the best record.
No, I understand that. I'm saying recent trends.
Right.
They're the first time that if we were taken for the week, who's the worst team in the tri-state right now? It's the New Jersey Devils.
It's the New Jersey Devils. They've lost 9 of their last 11. Keep in mind, a couple of those are OT losses and shootout losses. The overarching theme, I mean, they're losing by 1 goal apiece, it seems like, every game.
Right.
Keep in mind, they lose to the Rangers 3-2 in OT. They beat the Lightning, but then it's just been a skid where, you know, you lose to the Panthers in a shootout, you lose to the Leafs in OT, you get... I watched that Flyers-Devils game. They got manhandled the entire game by Philly. And here's just a little side on Philly. I hate watching them play hockey. Mm-hmm. They play the most boring style of hockey I've ever seen. There's fun defensive hockey to watch, and then there's the Philadelphia Flyers, where the whole name of their game is just don't let the other team shoot the puck. And I'm not going to call it passive, because that would mean that they're not putting in effort, but it just doesn't feel that fun to watch. Regardless, Devils lose to the Flyers, and then they lose to the Ottawa Senators on Sunday, 2-1, who are very hot themselves.
I was going to say, they just smacked up on the Bruins the other day, too.
They did.
I watched that game.
Are we all good microphone-wise, Lydia?
I think
so. Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, I can hear
you. All right, well, let me toss this to you then. Jack Hughes, recently, a cacophony of errors, it seems like, with the puck. Yeah, he's one of the only players scoring on the Devils, but he's not been good with the puck on his stick. He's made a lot of mistakes that have cost the Devils games.
I feel like that's just been kind of a microcosm of his career, because he's so good with the puck, but then sometimes he overcompensates, and then you got a guy like Sam Carrick who just pokes the puck off his stick and is going the other way. And I think there was some stat, I think, like Hughes has 9 goals or 9 points or whatever in the past however many games, but he also has like been on the ice for 9 goals against.
Yeah.
And most of those 9 goals against have come from literally him losing the puck. I almost think Luke is similar too. They just, they're so good with the puck, but they don't know when to get rid of it. And then they overcompensate and end up, I don't know if it's like not trusting your line mates, which Devils fans have said it's time to break up Hughes and Jesper Bratt. But yeah, you can't be turning the puck over like at the rate Hughes does. So
yeah. Another issue Hughes has is he's bad in the shootout. I don't know why the Devils keep putting him out there. He's 3-for-17. In the shootout in his career. That's 17.6%. Not good after 6 seasons. You would think that by now they would realize that the shootout just isn't for Jack Hughes, but they keep throwing him out there and he keeps missing.
But I also think it's weird to keep throwing him out there. One, like you said, like statistically, you know, it's obviously not working at any bit of an efficient clip. But second of all, I just don't think that, like, not every player who is really good, you know, in like, it's not always that your top scorers are your best shootout guys. Like, a shootout is a completely different environment that's a lot more strategic, it's a lot more controlled, it's a lot slower. And when you look at the kind of guy that Jack Hughes is, who's so fast, who's so dynamic, who's so shifty, who's making highlight reel goals left and right, who's, you know, will be full speed down the ice and snaps one on the move and buries it.
Yeah.
I just think I'm more shocked at them continuing to throw him out there, hoping that maybe the next one will be the one he buries, than him actually not performing well in the shootout. I've seen, you know, there's teams around the league who it's not their top scorers who are the most efficient guys in the shootout.
Right.
I think about, for years, Matt Zuccarello was the Rangers' best shootout guy, and he would be the Rangers' top scorer at like 50 points through the rebuild. But yeah, like, I agree with what you said, Jack, that a lot of times, I think more in the shootout because it's like the perfect place to overthink the move you're making, because Jack Hughes is really good on the breakaway.
Yeah.
Because he can do his deke, but he also, I've seen him score a number of times just shooting 5-hole, but I think like the way a shootout's formulated, where you kind of, a lot of players take the puck to the outside, slow down, I just don't think that plays into his game. And then he gets in close, and the goaltender, when you get to a certain point, you know, well, now he's going to deke because he doesn't have room. Or now, I mean, you would know better because you did play goalie, but when you're a certain distance out too, you're like, oh, well, his only option right now is to try and shoot it. So I just think he's a really predictable shootout guy. But you have to wonder too if the Devils practice shootouts, because
every team practices.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so does Hughes light it up in practice, and that's why Keefe keeps going back to him, right? Or is it just because he's Jack Hughes?
I think sometimes there's a tough position you're in a coaching standpoint. I think this goes across all sports, right? Where, like, if one of your top guys is struggling in any particular facet of the game, a lot of times they will get a lot more leash before getting benched or getting replaced or getting whatever the case may be. Some of it might be kind of the way the team runs thing, like just trying to keep our boy happy. Some of it might also be, you know, more of the mental thing. Sometimes that's the approach for coaches is, hey, listen, I don't, even though these guys are supposed to be mentally tough and they're professional athletes at the end of the day, it could maybe take him off his rhythm a little bit if we yank him from this, and that's almost like a negative reinforcement.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there, because I think giving him some, if you know, in further shootout instances for the Devils when if and when they occur, mm-hmm. I don't think it would be the worst idea to pull him off for a little bit altogether. But I think sometimes, even though it's a word, even though it's a, excuse me, even though it's a weird phrase to use, I guess, for a sport as brute and tough as hockey, sometimes you kind of handle your golden boys with kid gloves, and it's not in a bad way. It's just in like a making sure they remain in the right headspace and you're keeping your golden boy happy. And I think that might be, that could be, you know, a factor of it.
Yeah. Well, the golden boy cannot be too happy right now. The Devils, are you concerned about their playoff chances?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
There's so much room. They have enough room to keep playing poorly and figure it out to the point where they, right now, moving position, like dropping down to like a wild card one or wild card two is just not a concern for the Devils. If you keep playing bad and dropping games like they've lost four in a row, then it becomes concerning, but they still have plenty of room for error and trying new things.
Yeah.
To the point where it's not a worry yet.
I also think as long as Jacob Markstrom is your goalie, you always have a fighting
chance. They have played the most games in the division also. They've played 49. They are 7 points up on Columbus, but Columbus has two games in hand on them. I don't know. This could become interesting as far as the Devils are concerned. They play the Boston Bruins. Go Bruins! They play the Bruins tomorrow night at the Rock. What are we looking for in that game, Jack? Resident Bruins guy?
I mean, I'm looking for the Bruins to just win a damn game. Well, actually,
they're playing very well.
They beat the Sharks the other night. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. They've been getting points. Well, are you asking me what I'm looking for from the Bruins?
Yeah. What have you seen from them recently? I mean, look, you beat the Panthers in OT. You handled the Tampa Bay Lightning. You lose in the shootout to the Senators.
Right.
I mean, that all good games, and then you schlack the Sharks. So it seems like things are finally turning around.
And they slap the Lightning around a little bit, too. What's crazy is they've... The thing that's been following them around for the last two seasons now, think about it. Last season, they were OT point merchants. That's literally how they made the playoffs. Like, you don't think of last year's Boston Bruins team and think, God, like, that's the picture I think of a playoff team that won, I think, two games against Florida in that round.
Mm-hmm.
But they've just been, for the last 2 years, have just had no consistent scoring ability. Even their big wins are low scoring games. Even that intense game 7 against Toronto, low scoring game. It's always, you know, low. They put so much pressure between the pipes on Swayman and defensively all the time because they score so little. And it doesn't shock me at all that when they're finally hanging sixes and fives on teams, that they're now starting to find their footing a little bit. So I don't know. I'm just hoping to see them stay. They don't even have to remain this hot offensively, but if they can just sort of just have more of a pulse, I mean, this team is, you don't know what they could do.
Yeah, they're right there with Ottawa, 52 points each. They played two more games than the Senators, but you got to be careful if you're the Bruins. You have the Habs right behind you. Detroit has put together a nice little stretch. The East is wide open, we keep saying.
I was going to say, a handful of teams that had rough starts that are kind of patching things together.
I mean, who expected Montreal to do this?
That's what I'm saying. I certainly didn't.
And
Detroit, too.
Yeah, but at least there was, there was that vision for Detroit.
Detroit, there was more expectations for Detroit than there was for Montreal.
I don't think anyone was ready in 2025 to be like, the Habs are ready. But
Montreal has been god-awful for the last however many years, 3, 4, or 5 years. No, three years.
Yeah, ever since they went to the cup final in the COVID year.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was ridiculous because they barely made the playoffs. Anyway, let's move over to the New York Rangers. Let's do that.
Fun.
They lost again to the Canadiens 5-4 in overtime. It seems like you want to talk about one goal games. The Rangers have their fair share of one goal games. Season best point streak, it was 8 on Sunday night, and that continues. I said this last week, Lydia. Good teams find a way to close out games. And I know your argument against that, but I would contend that it is a problem because the Rangers have had a lead, a one-goal lead in the third period in most of these games. So it's not even that, you know, they're down by a lot and then they're clawing back. They're losing leads, which you can't do.
I think, though, the Montreal game, if you think about, both teams were on a back-to-back. The Rangers went into overtime in a very tightly contested game against Columbus because Columbus plays that man-on-man style. So it kind of wore the Rangers down. They were able to get the win in the shootout. Versus Montreal the night before, they go up 3-0 early against Toronto, but then Toronto scores 7 on them. So they were kind of, I think, if you're asking me, I think the Rangers had a little bit tougher of a game the night before, and then they also had to travel. So for me, right, that game, it wasn't a characteristic game of the Rangers of late. The reason the Rangers have been winning games is because they've been playing so much better defensively.
Yes,
so
100%.
Much better. And they didn't play well defensively in that game against Montreal. Will Borgen probably had his worst game as a Ranger because he's been a really
good Ranger. He's been kind of the turnaround.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the core of the turnaround.
So is Vaakanainen. There's a reason the Rangers have gotten better defensively. And they still aren't like a super high scoring team that maybe you'd expect a team with like Zibanejad, Panarin, Kreider, Lafreniere, but they're able to stay close in these games because defensively they're playing defense first.
Yes, that's a good point, Jack. Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere, they were the most productive 5-on-5 line last season in probably the league.
That team, for a President's Trophy winning team, that team got a lot of one-line team allegations, and I understand why. I do. That they were incredible.
They were great. They were incredible. Panarin just won 5-on-5 goal in the last 11 games.
Yep.
And an empty netter on 6-on-5.
Troche has been the highest scorer from that line, if I'm correct.
Because Lafreniere broke a goal-scoring drought against Montreal,
yep.
I believe.
So did
Cooley did, too.
It was Cooley. Yeah. It was either that one or the game before. It was Montreal. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been sad to see the downturn in Cooley's production since Kako's left. I'm not saying it's a Cooley problem. Like, I'm sure he'll figure it out. Like, it's not a knock on Will Cooley. It's just, it's been sad to see because that line was so fun.
Cooley, Hedel, Kako, man, forever. And I know maybe people don't really care about like the advanced stats, but they were a very good line. And I think Cooley, just this is the only thing I'll say on Will Cooley, and then we can move on from him. I think he's been playing well. Like, he's been playing his style of game. But when you saw that really good offensive production to start the year, along with his like high checking game, because I think he still like is up there in league leading for hits, it was kind of sad to see him drop off in point production, but I don't think he's been playing bad.
We missed Kako. I was talking about it on the bridge at the last Rangers game I was at. It was like Cooley, it's been noticeably different since they traded Kako, but it's not, we made sure to reiterate multiple times, like, he's not playing bad.
Yeah.
He's just like
right.
not, he's not a net negative. He's just not as noticeable. But that line was also, that was the most fun line on the team for the first however many months of the season when they were just playing awful hockey. And the only time that you really got a bit of excitement was when it was Cooley, Hedel, Kako on the ice.
Yeah. Can you make, I know you said you disagree with the argument that it's a one-line team, but I mean,
well,
you know,
I didn't say that I necessarily disagree with it. I just thought it's a bold title to give a President's Trophy winning team.
For sure. But when the Rangers are not winning enough games and you have, you know, Trocheck, two points in the last 14 games, Lafreniere since signing his extension, 8 goals and 11 assists with a minus 13. Over 39 games, it has to be at least partially a reason why you're not winning games, right?
I think so, but I think to answer the question, yes, that is the reason. But the reason now that the Rangers have been playing better is they've actually been getting tons of production from your bottom six, Sam Carrick, Adam Edstrom, guys like that. But also, I don't know, I don't necessarily know if Laviolette's found something, but like the Riley Smiths, Zibanejad, and Cooley line, has been pretty not. They've been good. They've been putting up.
Zibanejad's looked more lively.
Yeah. So is Riley Smith. Smith's been putting up goals. I don't understand why Rangers fans don't like Riley Smith. There's a lot of them that will just give him a lot of criticism. I think Smith's been a great Ranger.
Why do you think that is?
Because about Smith?
Yeah, why do you think that?
Because I think to start the year it was Smith, Kreider, and Zibanejad, mm-hmm. and it's just known that Kreider and Zibanejad don't play well together. Mm-hmm. And I think I said this last week as well about the Kreider injury kind of being a blessing in disguise for the Rangers because it found a way to get Mika not relying on someone else and just being able to play his game. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of the reason that like Smith was kind of dragged into that narrative.
Right.
What I'm still just trying to figure out, and I just don't know. Like the one thing that I'm struggling with before I say that this team is back, because obviously again 8-game point streak is a nice thing to see.
It's
obviously,
nice.
Especially in comparison to where they were earlier in the season. But the only thing that like I'm a little hesitant about is over that span, three overtime losses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. That's a point. They had the lead going into the third.
That's
all
insane.
Three of those games. All three of those games, they had the lead going into the third or earned the lead in the third and lost it.
Right.
And I just don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if it's one of those things where it's just trying to work your way all the way back. It's like you got to crawl before you can walk before you can run. Like, hey, they're figuring out their game. It's late in the season, but it's not too late.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to finish a little stronger will come soon, but it's a little concerning. How especially they all would be big wins. Like Stars would have been a big win. Avalanche would have been a big win. You know, Canadians, even that, the way with just how back and forth and physical that game was in Montreal, which is no matter how bad they are, a tough place to play, like would have been a big win. These are all games where they matched whoever they were playing for almost a full 60. Actually, technically a full 60, and then just couldn't finish it.
Yeah. Talk about big games. Look, you play the Columbus Blue Jackets ahead of you in the standings. You play the Habs ahead of you in the standings. Now you're playing the Senators ahead of you in the standings. And then you're playing the Flyers ahead of you in the standings. These are four really big games.
And the Hurricanes. Two games after that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they play the Hurricanes. Yeah, wow.
Next Tuesday.
This is,
this is an interesting stretch they got here because it's nice to have all four of those games at home.
Right.
But it's Senators, like you said, ahead of them. Flyers ahead of them. Avalanche doesn't matter. It's the Avalanche. They're always going to bring some sort of competitiveness. Hurricanes to close out a home stretch. And then a couple days after that, out to Boston. So they got a gauntlet coming up.
And then you host Vegas.
And then Vegas.
And then you play Boston again.
It's been well noted that the Rangers are already through their easy part of their schedule. And they were terrible.
God awful.
Through it. So the rest of the season is like the hard part of their schedule, which I guess you could look at it in one of two ways. If the Rangers find a way to squeak in, maybe it's a good thing. You're playing against tough teams. You're playing in playoff style games.
I like it.
I think it's a good thing too, but you have to pick up 2 points.
You do, but like here's the thing: the way that this season has begun and where we've gotten to, I'll say pre-point streak. The way that this season has gone,
mm-hmm.
it you kind of reach that point where even though we weren't to All-Star break, New York being New York and their brains, you know, fans' brains working the way they work, you almost got to a point where, as sad as it sounds, it was almost going to be like making the playoffs was like a bonus or a luxury, if that was even possible. It wasn't the expectation. It was almost a luxury just because of how awful the season started. So with that already kind of being the MO, there's now more confidence, obviously, now as we're headed, onto they're trying to extend the point streak to 9 games tonight. But so there's a little more confidence. But I think the fact that that's already was kind of the MO earlier in the season, what's there to lose on having a hard end to your schedule? It's already going to be a bonus if they even make the playoffs this season. So what's the hurt in them playing a harder, more gauntlet on the back half to prepare them for the playoffs if, God forbid, they do make it?
And it hurts me to say this, but they're not out of it by any stretch
not
of
at
the
all.
Imagination.
I think they're going to make the playoffs.
I think they're going to make the playoffs.
That's a perfectly logical take to have. They have the fifth hardest schedule in the league remaining. Thank you, Tankathon.
Also, an issue that a lot of people were saying is they had to jump a lot of teams. But do you trust the Senators to keep up your good play? Do you trust the Blue Jackets?
I don't know. I didn't trust Montreal, and they've done it for over a month. So any team can do it.
I think Montreal and Columbus are very similar in the fact that they're like structurally coached. Like, go out there, play hard. St. Louis, or yeah, Marty St. Louis, he's mm-hmm. the coach. He has his players. Like, I don't know, that Montreal game, for me, just watching the Canadiens, I think they're going to burn out. Because it seems like their philosophy is play hard and literally cause a scrum after every single whistle.
They can do that.
Yeah, you know? But I don't think it's sustainable.
I had not a doubt in my mind that the Detroit Red Wings were going to make the playoffs last year, and then they just face planted at the very end. So yeah. I'm in full agreement that there's a lot of teams around New York that could, you know, not maintain, you know, the consistency that they've had so far, and it, you know, it changes things at the end of the season. But
Detroit also has the hardest schedule in the league.
Yes, they do.
They play the Capitals twice, Vegas twice, Minnesota twice.
Good God!
Yeah, no, it's tough.
Minnesota's been so fun to watch this year. I don't want to go on a side tangent about them, but just they've been
their
so
defense
fun.
Worries me a little bit.
And Kaprizov's still not back yet.
Still not back, but once they're healthy, they will be pretty good. Speaking of players not being healthy, Noah Dobson got hurt last night.
So, all right, so transition. We're headed to the Islanders talk?
Yeah, we're at the Islanders.
All right, let's do it.
Noah Dobson got hurt last night. He collided with Cole Sillinger. They're saying it's lower body. It was his leg.
Of course they are.
That's my least favorite thing,
it's
by the way.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in sports.
Sometimes they'll just say, or my favorite thing that they'll do, they'll say undisclosed, and you got to figure it out yourself. They won't even tell you what half of their body is hurt. They'll just say undisclosed.
Who are they protecting? Like, just knowing what part of the body is injured? Who cares?
I don't know.
What is so, like, what's so classified about an injury?
And you would think that betting websites would especially want that information.
Probably.
You know? Because they have all the information. Anyway, Noah Dobson, they didn't say how long he's going to be out. It seems like it'll be a while. Patrick Waugh, in practice this morning, had Romanov with Mayfield as a pairing, and Chalowski and George together. I mean, just a juggernaut of a back end for the New York Islanders. It will be. I think Chalowski is going to stay in the lineup if Dobson's out for a while, because he's actually pretty good to run point on the power play.
Right.
So being
the power play, how about the little special teams play the other night against Columbus?
Dude, they scored twice on the power play. Amazing.
Bo with a nice little two-piece in the second period.
Dude, that's the thing. It was just those two, Barzal and Horvat, doing all the work. Yeah. And that's how you know this team isn't sustainable.
Yeah.
Because they don't
Holmstrom's shorty was pretty cool, though.
Yeah. They don't.
But he's not. I agree. It's coming completely from two guys.
They can't do it night to night, unfortunately.
No, they can't.
Kyle Palmieri is also out, by the way. They're just saying it's maintenance. But he played all of last night. So, but he's getting up there. They say maintenance for those guys who get a little banged up. Let's talk about the fact that they lost three games in a row to start the month, then won three games on a road trip, then lost back-to-back games, and have now won back-to-back games.
Can I ask you a quick question before we move further with that? I want to get your thoughts, because I think this is the first episode since it happened on the suspension.
On Sippy's suspension?
Yeah. Because here's all I'll say. It was It was rough. Like, it was bang-bang.
It's a hockey play.
No. That's what I'll say. Dirty. That was a tongue slip. I didn't mean to say dirty. It's a rough, like a bang-bang play. When I saw, like, the side angle, did that not look fully shoulder-to-shoulder?
That's what
I think a suspension was way too strong there.
It was. He only makes contact with his head because he dips his head at the end, and that's why the helmet went flying. If the helmet didn't go flying, I think you unfortunately get a... And he also... He was down on the ice for a while, like face down for a full minute.
Dude, it was a brutal hit.
Brutal hit. But like, I agree.
But brutal hits can be legal.
It looked shoulder to shoulder to me. Because
when I saw the TV angle, like live full speed, I was like, oh, that's dirty. He's cooked. He's suspended. Well, he did end up being suspended. But my first thoughts initially were like, that's a dirty hit. He sucks for that. Yeah. What the hell is that? Then when they finally played like a slowed down replay, I was like, wait a second. Yeah. It's like the clip of Leonardo DiCaprio where he's like, whistles and points at the TV. Yes. It's like that. I was like, what?
You're
is
like, whoa.
That was not dirty.
No. LP?
I watched Jacob Trouba play hockey for years, so I didn't think it was that bad. But I think that the issue with it was where he started skating and how he just kept going and going and going. And they may have thought it was some sort of targeted charging. I don't know, because it was Poehling, right? He had the puck.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think it's a bang-bang play. But yeah. I think my opinion is also just altered from having to defend
Jacob Trouba
and Matt Rempe for the past couple seasons.
Yeah. Oh, let's... you just mentioned Matt Rempe. He lost a fight.
He loses every again, fight. The only fight he's won is against Matt Martin in the Stadium Series.
Correct. He did win that fight.
Yeah, that's the only
I'll
one he's won.
I'll be the first to admit it. I know. It was fun to watch. They're both massive.
I would say Reeves was a draw.
Yeah, I don't think he really lost the Reeves one either.
I think that was a draw. But I sure as hell won't say he won it. I call it a draw.
Yeah. Yeah. Flipping back to the Islanders. Barzal and Horvat doing it all themselves. Only 7 points out of the final wild card spot.
Really?
Yeah. The East is so weak.
Yeah. It's 7 points. Wild card spots. They're not going to make the playoffs, but it's 7 points.
I did text our hockey chat a couple weeks ago. I was like, the Islanders are really going to do it again, are they? They're
probably
totally not going
could.
To. They might not, but like I feel like they fully are going to do it. They're going to have that we are a joke of a franchise start to the season. Fire Lou. Hashtag Fire Lou. Some will even say Fire Wah. There'll be everyone going through their crazy, their emotions. Fire sailed, blah, 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 da, 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 da. Around January, right before All-Star break, they find a spark. They start playing well. You head into the All-Star break. They get a perfectly timed break where they can rest and chill. And then they maybe have a couple drinks and loosen up the muscles. And
it is second hardest schedule.
And then they come back from the All-Star break, and then they play like a freaking Gretzky's Oilers team. And then implode in the first round of the playoffs, and then happy hunting.
That would be nice. They play Washington twice, Winnipeg twice.
Nope, that's not good.
Minnesota twice, Edmonton, Vegas, and Dallas.
Ouch.
Yeah. I usually don't like doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Here should be the plan, because this team will not make the playoffs at the deadline. You fire Lou.
good luck with that.
You fire Lou. You buy out Pierre Engvall. You trade Brock. You trade Dobson, you trade Palmieri, you trade JGP, you
Holy
keep Wah.
Good Lord.
You build around 13, 14, 7, 28, Yzerman and Danny Nelson.
And Matt Maggio. Yes.
Sure. Sure. I mean, fine.
He's like the comfort AHL player for me.
Yeah.
Even though he's an Islander prospect, because he was on a line with Will Cooley and Wyatt Johnston in Windsor.
I thought you said we weren't going to talk about Will Cooley anymore today.
Sorry. But it was related to the Islanders.
Okay.
I just had to explain why I just randomly decided to bring up Matt Maggio.
All right. We're going to play a game. Who's ready to play a game? Please don't get too excited. Let's play a game. It's called In or Out. Super easy. I'm going to give you a team. Will they be in or will they be out? And I need a good reasoning.
Oh, my God. I don't know how many. All right, we'll see.
Here we go. The Philadelphia Flyers, in or out?
Can we play like Jeopardy music while we think? Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead,
John.
Go ahead.
Tortorella.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, I can. I think the main argument for why the Flyers could make the playoffs is literally Tortorella. Because I agree. I think he's a great coach. There's not many like hard style coaches like him left, but I think what he's done for I think last year the Flyers were ahead of schedule. I still think this year you could consider them ahead of schedule, but I don't see them jumping over the Bruins, the Rangers, because I just think there's too many other, I don't want to call any of these teams good teams, but there's too many other teams in the mix that are better than them.
In or out?
I think she hit the nail right on the head. I'm going to say out.
Out.
Yeah.
And why?
Because I don't think that what they do offensively is sustainable enough for you kind of hit the nail right on the head. It's just like you're watching a defensive hockey game, and you can only one of those once in a while is a good viewership experience, but like night in, night out, where it's just defend, it's like, how much shelf life does a team like that have?
All they do is score off the rush. That's,
right.
That's just how they score.
Just Owen Tippett.
All right, next. The Ottawa Senators, in or out?
In. I don't actually. I don't know.
This is the Senators have goaltending, which is something they haven't had in years.
They do,
and they have a good offensive base. It's a matter of the Senators of playing, of staying healthy, because like Josh Norris has been hurt for years. Pinto was obviously suspended for a large stretch last season, but I think wasn't Korpisalo their goalie last year, and now they have Ullmark. But that would mean that one of either, let me see, the Bruins or Rangers would be out.
Yep.
This is like a mathematical equation. 46 games. I think they're in.
I think I need to see what they do at the deadline to make my decision. I think if they upholster, like some people are thinking, expecting they will, that they might be buyers here at this deadline.
Yeah.
I think they're in.
Okay. Final one. We've been talking about them a lot. Montreal, in or out?
Oh God.
Out.
Out.
I just don't think. Like,
I think they're in.
When push comes to shove, they're just a little too young, and in some of these. Like they're playing well, but I think like against good teams, like you saw against the Leafs, you go up 3-0 and you lose 7-3. I think it's just like with a young team, it can be hard when you go up and then, you know, you say good teams find ways to win. You don't lose games when you're up 3-0 because you one goal, fine. You get the fourth goal. But I think it's just like kind of like you live and you learn.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, they're just not strong enough yet to like push through those tough stretches.
Could I change mine to out but hope I'm wrong?
Yeah, you can do that.
I would love to see them make the playoffs.
Yeah.
This year, because I actually hate the Canadiens as a Bruins
fan.
Well,
a big reason for their success, and I don't think we talk about it, Sam Montembeau has been playing a lot better. He
made the Team Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how about that? But as far as the whole they're too young thing, I mean, you forget Patrick Laine's on their team, man. And he brings some good veteran presence. Of course, Brendan Gallagher's been there for ages. But that first line, Caulfield, Suzuki, Slavkovsky, that's
nails.
To me, that's a top four line in the league.
That's a
take. Is that bold?
I think it's bold. I don't think Slavkovsky's that good.
Bro.
I
don't know.
Maybe it's just the way like Canadiens fans talk about him, but
he's only 20.
Yeah, he's only 20. Right now, he's playing really good for a 20-year-old. But I think you would. I don't think he's like. I think the future you could be say that line is going to be a top five line within maybe 2 years, and I wouldn't necessarily argue it. I don't know if they have the means yet to be that line that will necessarily be able to put together like consistent production for the next 40 games, a little less than that, 30 something games.
Suzuki is over a point per game.
Suzuki's a great player. Suzuki's where Slavkovsky's probably going to be in a few years.
Yeah.
So I just don't think. I think the Canadiens are close, but I still think they're a few years away. And I also want to say that Alexi Emelin tripped Kreider. Kreider didn't run into Carey Price. Sorry.
Well, now that we've got that out.
I don't know.
All right. Any final takes from anyone?
I'm just trying to see where this line ranks. I'm looking through Money Puck right now. I'm just trying to see where they're.
It may have been bold for me to say that they're top four.
I haven't seen them yet in the top 100.
That's ridiculous to me.
But they also, I don't know if they had, like, how long has that line really been together, though?
Not that long.
Which is probably, this is probably just going off what they have in like the database.
Yeah.
All right. Right now it has number one is Hagel, Cirelli, Kucherov.
Oh my gosh.
Is number one in the league.
I forgot about the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Offensive.
They just
we can agree
they're in. They never go away.
We can agree that they're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tampa
the
Bay
one
Lightning.
I was surprised you didn't ask about was Columbus. I feel like that's an interesting.
Well, what do you got for that?
I don't know. That's why like it's fun to talk about. I don't know.
I think
they're going to be one of those teams that we mentioned earlier that, like, I think will unfortunately fall out of the woodwork. But I don't know.
But I think it's good experience for them. I think it's almost like the Flyers last
year. Is it a team to buy stock in, though, moving forward? Yes. They're young and they're fun.
Yeah. I really like Kirill Marchenko. He's one of my favorite players in the league.
I do too.
JVR's had a great year.
I was shocked watching the Rangers game the other night, and then watching last night the Islanders. Some of the names on the Blue Jackets, like I don't know. I was surprised that, like, well, obviously Fantilli, he's been doing really well this year. I'm not obviously surprised by him, but like Sillinger, Del Belbelouz, like all these guys. Kent Johnson's playing better.
Yeah,
he's still got like guys like Nick Blankenberg, Gavin Werenski's
Brindley. A dog.
Werenski's good. I'm surprised that they're having the success with such a young roster. You talk about young. Columbus Blue Jackets got to be up there for one of the youngest and I would say inexperienced teams. Like, these guys are on first year rookies,
yeah,
but they're playing good. And like you said, Marchenko, severely, severely underrated player.
So looking at these, I'm sorry, I'm not listening to your guys' conversation at all. I'm just looking at these lines.
It's okay.
Just to be like a little bleep stirrer, and while watching, you know, you guys sit across from each other. You get an Islander line before you get a Ranger line. Number 17 right now, they got Lee Pajau-Barzal, and then Duclair Horvat-Barzal. That's a sore subject. And then you don't get a Ranger until 37, which is Cooley Zibanejad-Smith.
Wow.
Then, oh.
What's up?
At 40 is Cooley Hiedelkako.
Tears. I miss them.
You miss them?
I do miss Cooley, Heedle, and Kako.
I'm confused how this website works, though. Is it like...
Yeah, that seems so, money like, pump? Arbitrary.
Are they saying that like... Because Cooley, Heedle, Kako was, like, the only line with a pulse there early in the season. But are they saying that, like, where that line left, like, where that line ended once Kako left, there's still, like, the lines beneath them haven't... Pass them.
I think
know.
It's like the number of minutes. Like, I think you can change the settings on it, right? Mm. Like, how many minutes do you have the lines together?
Where do they have Davo's line?
Okay. Let's see.
Yeah, I
expected goals. I had an expected goal.
They had like a crazy, that Cooley Hiedelkako line had a crazy expected goals.
Oh, wow. This is way. Okay. I'm just learning how to use the internet. Here I'm sorry. Go. Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere is number two in the league in goals.
Really?
Nope.
Expected goals or actual goals?
Actual goals.
Really?
Hmm.
I didn't know that.
Goals for... let's see. Hold on. I'm just trying to read this.
See, Jack, you know, I was telling you how I became a paper and pencil kid. This is why, because I would just spend time on Money Puck in class.
Check that out.
It's a fascinating website.
Connor Scheifele-Villardi, that's the great line.
Kyle Connor remains underrated in the NHL.
Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere, Palat, Brad.
I talk with Mike Ashmore at Ranger games every time we go, like almost every time I go, about how underrated Kyle Connor is.
Palms, Nelson, Sippy, number 8. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Marchand, Lindholm, none of this surprises me. Schmaltz, Hayton, Keller is actually a really good line as well.
Love Kate.
All right.
Keller.
I think that'll do it for us here on 5-on-3.
Yep.
Thank you both. A little bit of a all over episode.
I
but I
say,
like
a
that.
Little bit
we
of
need
a,
that.
Yeah, I liked it.
I need it. Keep you on your toes.
Wear some pants next time.
I'll wear some pants. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
How are the Stellas at UBS, by the way?
I hear they're lovely this time of year. Thanks for listening, everyone.